from what was happening last week. I won't attempt to repeat what I was saying then. But we were talking about having access right into the presence of God, being able to come right before the throne of grace, where we find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And we saw that this letter to the Hebrews gives us this wonderful revelation of Jesus being our high priest. And we saw what that meant. Now we're not changing the focus, because our focus is very much going to be on Jesus. This is what the writer to Hebrews is wanting everybody to do, to keep their focus on Jesus. And we're going to see how the scripture here is showing us how we can do that and what the benefits of it are going to be. So we'll read from the beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's all the people of faith that have been mentioned in Hebrews 11, let us throw off everything that hinders. Say, throw off. Now, we know how to throw off things, don't we? Hello? I mean, you know, when you're tired and you want to get to bed quickly, you just throw off your clothes, don't you? You don't worry too much about, well, I don't worry too much about folding them up neatly. If I'm really tired, I'll fold them up in the morning. Sometimes. Praise God. But we all know what it is to throw off. Well, if we can throw off clothes, we can throw off sin. It's a lie to say we can't throw it off. Amen? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the right race marked out for us. Now, that's an important phrase. The way in which we are to run has been marked out for us. We're not seeking to run in our own ways, but we're running in the way that the Lord has prepared. He's prepared good things for us, hasn't he? And all those good things are in the race that is marked out for us. You could say hallelujah. Now, when you run a race, it's very important that you keep your eyes ahead of you. You know, if you watch people doing the 100 meters or something like that, nobody will look to the side, nobody will look behind, they won't look to see where the other competitors are, they will just look ahead, they're going for the tape, they're going full bore with their eyes fixed on the goal. Amen? And we're going to see that what the enemy wants us to do is not to look ahead, but to look around. And to look behind. And to look inside. To look anywhere except where we're supposed to look. Okay. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, this is a run of faith, isn't it? I said, this is a run of faith, isn't it? Okay, so we can only actually run it if Jesus enables us to run it, because it can only be run by faith. And he is the one who authors faith. And how do you get that faith? By fixing your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what this scripture is teaching us is that in his humanity, Jesus looked ahead. He knew all the time that he was going to have to go to the cross. He prophesied it many times. He knew that this was why the Father sent him. He had to go through all the conflicts and so on in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he had to keep his heart submitted to the will of the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. He was absolutely single-minded. He was focused on fulfilling the task for which he was sent. But you see, his viewpoint was not the cross, but what lay beyond the cross. He didn't live for 3.5 years in fear of the cross. He knew he had to go through the cross, but he knew that beyond the cross was the restoration of the glory that was his in unity with the Father in heaven forevermore. This was the joy that was set before him. But he knew also that if he went through the cross and into the glory, he would not go back alone. He left heaven alone, but he would take with him the multitude of people who believed in him. So he was taking us back with him. I mean, you know, God planned this even before the creation of the world. He said, I'm doing this for kingdom faith, so that everybody who belongs to kingdom faith is going to go into the glory. He did it for a few other people as well. But I mean, he had all of us in mind, didn't he? Consider him, verse 3, consider him, it's all focused on him, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, Jesus was in constant conflict with the opposition, wasn't he? Every time he went to Jerusalem, there was trouble. The Pharisees opposed him, they ridiculed him, they blasphemed him, they accused him of blasphemy. They accused him of being an instrument of Satan. He lived in constant conflict, but he didn't get his eyes on the conflict. He kept his eyes on his purpose. He didn't get distracted by the problems. Even when there was an attack on his friend Lazarus, who was dying, and Jesus was up the other end of the country, and it was going to take 3 days to get there, Jesus was not going to go rushing to his friend when he was involved in the Father's work here. He was not going to allow that to prevent him from finishing what he was doing here. Then he would go to Bethany. See, Jesus was focused. He wasn't going to be distracted by other things. Okay. In your struggle against sin, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let me tell you, one of the chief weapons that the enemy has is to try to make you weary and get you to give up. I mean, he is worse than 25 nagging wives put together. I'm quoting the scripture here because it says it's better to live on the corner of the house than to live with a nagging wife. Now, I mean, that scripture, you'll find it in Proverbs somewhere. But, you know, the devil is far greater nagger than any human being. He nags and nags and nags and nags and nags all the time. And it's all negative. It's all destructive. And, you know, your mind... You really have a kind of a tuning knob, like you have on a radio. You can tune into whichever station you want to receive. Well, it's better to receive the Word of God than to listen to the Satan station. I mean, you get this nagger start talking to you, change the station immediately. Say, I'm not listening to that junk. I'm not listening to that rubbish. I'm not listening to accusation. I'm not listening to his lies. I'm not having the devil put me down. I'm changing stations. And if you find that difficult, then grab your Bible and start to read what the Word of God is saying, and that will immediately change your station. Hallelujah. Sorry to make it so complicated, but, you know, if simple guys like me can understand, it has to be simple, right? In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Any sons of God here this morning? Oh, praise God. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Discipline is good when it comes from the Lord. Nobody likes discipline. Why? What is discipline? Discipline cuts across you doing what you want when it's wrong. I mean, when do you discipline a child? You don't discipline a child when the child is doing what is right. You don't say to a little child, you shouldn't do what is right. Stop it. I mean, you're very thankful when the child is doing what is right. The only time you discipline is when the child is doing something wrong. Now, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit judges sin. Now, the Lord tells us that we are not to judge one another. That all judgment belongs to the Son. But the Spirit of the Son lives in you. Why do we need God's mercy every day? Why do we need forgiveness? Because sin brings us under judgment. Now, we know that God's purpose is not to judge, but to save. Yeah. So, in the life of believers, it isn't that sin is less important. We tell non-believers, your sin separates you from God. It's that serious. Well, it's even more serious in a believer because believers know better. Mm-hmm. Believers know what is right. Are we all breathing here? Yes. This is a holiday sermon. It's a nice, easy, light message this morning. Now, the way in which sin is judged in a non-believer is that that non-believer is condemned already. Jesus says this. Just after he says, you know, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. So we may not be condemned, but have eternal life. But then he goes on to say, but those who do not believe are condemned already. So when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin or judges sin in a non-believer, that is to show that non-believer that he is under judgment. And actually, before a person gets saved, they have to experience that. Before a person can be genuinely saved, they have to experience the fact that they are a sinner, cut off from God because of their sin, and they need forgiveness. That going to church doesn't necessarily do that. It has to be a heart submission and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we breathing here? Okay. Now, the same Holy Spirit works from within, not from without, but from within in the Christian, and he judges sin. But he doesn't judge sin with condemnation, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But what he does is he doesn't punish either, because Jesus has saved us from the punishment that our sins deserve. So he, what we call, convicts us. But the convicting of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit judging sin in you and saying, hey, that's not right. That's not my will for you. That has to go. Like now. And you see, we need to thank God for the way in which the Holy Spirit convicts us and disciplines us so that we know when we're going wrong. Or even are in danger of going wrong. You know, you get that, careful. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, there's something you're about to do, something you may even want to do, and the Holy Spirit says, ah, no, 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 not that way. That's not the race that is marked out for you. You've got your eyes on yourself and what you want instead of having your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, we therefore don't treat the Lord's discipline lightly. We thank Him. Why? Because He wants to keep us on the straight and narrow. And actually, that way that He marks before us is straight. It doesn't meander all around the place. And it is narrow. Jesus said there is a narrow way. There's a broad path that leads to destruction. But the way to life is narrow. Hello? And the only way you can keep to a narrow, you know, like if I'm walking, there's some tiles here, as you know, there's a line, you see, where the tiles meet. Now, if I'm gonna keep to that line, I'm going to have to keep my eyes ahead of me, like that. If I start looking away, I'm inevitably going, so I'm already off the line. So what does the devil want to do? Look at him. Look at her. Look at them. Oh. Judge them. Because then you come under judgment. But when any of those judging thoughts come out, you change the station, don't you? Immediately you change the station. Say, no, I'm not having any of that. Then another thing the devil says is, look behind you. Have you ever tried to walk? Real trouble if I end up on this now. But what you know, even Christians do this to other Christians. They say, look back. Your answer is in your past. Never. Your answer is in Jesus. Yeah. Fix your eyes in Jesus. You won't find your answers from the past. You'll only find your answers in Jesus.
Amen. That's true.
The only thing that looking back does is showing you how many times you've gone wrong. And that's not going to help you. Because all that God wants now is for us to walk in the right way. So we don't look around, we don't look back. The other thing he tries us to get us to do is to look in. Ah, you know what I say about that. Anybody who keeps looking at himself deserves to get depression. Because, I mean, you look at yourself and, yuck. All of us can see so many things about ourselves that are imperfect, that are not like Jesus. Because God hasn't finished with us yet. When we see Him face to face, then we shall be like Him. But that's still there. That's our hope for the future. And God is doing this work of making us more and more like Him. But the more you look at yourself, the more you actually lose faith in Jesus. Because you won't find any answers that you need in yourself. You know, if you ever want to start a conversation with someone you don't know, just ask them to talk about themselves. Because that's their favorite subject. Most people talk about themselves more than they talk about anybody else. You got to love me, says so in the book. But you see, the only things that are worth talking about yourself are the good things that the Scripture says about who you are, because you're a son.
Absolutely.
Because you are a co-heir with Christ, because you inherit with Him everything that God has to give.
Amen.
Now we're going to tune the devil out.
Yes.
Tune Jesus in. This is why it's so important at the first part of the day to spend some time with the Lord, with the Word of God and in prayer, because you're getting your life in tune for the day. You're tuning into the right station. You don't tune into the right station, your day will begin with the wrong station. And who knows that once you've got tuned into the wrong station, it's more difficult to get tuned into the right station. But if you get tuned into the right station at the beginning of the day, then who wants to move from the right station to the wrong station? I mean, it's common sense, isn't it? The Bible calls it wisdom. But wisdom is just sanctified common sense. I mean, to anybody with anything between the two ears, it's obvious that you get tuned in to the right voice, not the wrong voice. Now, the wrong voice is so depressing and negative. Because the wrong voice says, you can't. The wrong voice is full of accusation. Do you know the devil works by intimidation? So much of what is happening in our nation today, through political correctness, through other religions that are seeking to promote themselves, is all intimidatory. They're trying to intimidate our society. They're trying to intimidate everybody within our society. So that you don't say things because you feel intimidated. You don't do things because you're intimidated. Or you do this because you're intimidated. Now we got to stand against intimidation in the name of Jesus. That does not belong to the kingdom of God. It's not part of the kingdom of righteousness. God doesn't work by intimidation. He works by love. Religion can intimidate because it can't actually produce love. But Jesus is love. So if we keep our eyes on Him, then we have our eyes on the one who is love. Hallelujah. It's good, isn't it? I mean, it's so simple, isn't it? I mean, it really is simple. We all know what to do. I mean, none of us can say, this Christian life is so hard, I don't know what to do. Absolute rubbish. You do know what to do. Now, of course, knowing what to do and doing it are two different things. But God has actually put His own Spirit in you to enable you to do what you know you've got to do.
Yes, amen.
So it's not even you having to depend upon your own self, your own strength, to do what you know you got to do. I mean, well, what does the Word of God say? I mean, you know this. You're to love. You're to love God. You're to love your neighbor. You're to love one another as He has loved you. You know that. Okay, you can do it. Because God has put His Spirit of love within you. You know that. You have to believe. Why? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you know when you're not operating by faith, you're not pleasing God. So you know, right, I've got to live by love today, I've got to live by faith today and every day, so I keep my eyes on Jesus because that's the only way to live by faith. The devil doesn't want me to live by faith because when I live by faith, the devil is defeated in my life. So that's why he wants to get my eyes off Jesus, onto myself, onto my past, onto others, onto the problems, onto the needs, onto the circumstances. Oh, you know this stuff. Don't you?
Yes.
So you can do it because God has put the Holy Spirit within you. You know that you're called to be a people of prayer. You know that. But you still have to do it. Jesus says, you know, if you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. But I mean, if you don't pray, how are you going to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus? How are you going to believe that He will do what He promises to do? We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Let me know, this is what we've got to do. We just yield ourselves to Him every day. Lord, I give myself to You today, spirit, soul, and body. I know that everything I am and all that I have belongs to You. Thank You that You paid the price for me with Your blood. Thank You that I am an inheritor of everything that You have, that You have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that I'm a co-heir with Christ. I mean, you know all this. Don't you? So we just live in the good of it every day. How do we live in the good of it every day? We keep our eyes on Jesus and don't get distracted.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, sometimes people say to me, well, it's easy for you. It's not easy. It's no easier for me than for anybody else. I've just been doing it for a bit longer than some of you. And the more you do it, the more you get used to doing it.
Yes.
The more it becomes the natural thing to do. Oh, sometimes people say to me, oh, I've given up on the Lord. He hasn't done what I wanted. I want to say to them, well, I'm thankful that He hasn't given up on you, though you haven't done what He's wanted. Aren't you thankful the Lord has never given up on you?
Yes.
Even when you've gone off the rails, even when you've gone into some kind of, you know, period of despondency, whatever has gone on, He never gives up. He just waits, just brings you back into focus, gets you tuned in again. Hallelujah. So that's it really, isn't it? We've come to the conclusion that the Christian life is simple. When we do it in the power of the Spirit. But when we try to do it in our own strength, it's impossible. It's just clearly impossible. When we try and strive and strain in our own strength, nothing happens. So this brings us to one obvious conclusion. We have to be dependent completely upon the Holy Spirit. Is that all right?
Yes.
Now, the Holy Spirit happens to be holy.
Yes.
And this narrow way happens to be the way of holiness. And actually, if we just listen and keep ourselves tuned in and do what He says, He will keep us walking in holiness.
Right.
It's no big deal. It's no, oh, I don't want to be so holy that I'm no earthly good. Let me tell you, the only people who are earthly good are the holy ones.
Yes.
They're the only ones that can do any good to the earth. That's why when we become born again, we are sanctified, we're made holy. God says, well, now I can do something with you. You see, you can look at yourself and say, oh, I'm ever so on. But God looks at you and says, holy child. In Christ. My Holy Spirit's in you. Holy child of God. That's what you are. Holy child of God. I think that's good. But I think we have to remember that. So we're tuned into the holy station, not the unholy station. See, there's nothing holy about the devil. Everything that the powers of darkness want to do are to take us outside of God's will. Outside of His purpose. But we're not going to be drawn away from that which God has for us. So, we've just hit something here. I just sense we've hit something this last couple of minutes when I've started talking about holiness. Now the Holy Spirit is coming right up against some mental attitudes, heart attitudes in people's lives all over this building at this moment. Some of you are wanting to push this away. But this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Say, no, you are holy. Doesn't matter what you think about yourself, you are holy. Because I have made you holy, says the Lord. You can be holy and still do unholy things. It's just that those unholy things are no longer consistent with your holy nature. It's gone very quiet in here now. This is a holy church. Because we're holy people. We don't become it, we were made it. When we were born again, God stamped your life and said, holy to the Lord.
Amen.
Devil doesn't like that because he's not holy. He was, but he got thrown out. He was created to be holy, but chose unholiness. Now, you wouldn't follow him, would you? You wouldn't be made holy and then choose unholiness. Huh? I mean, that's what the devil did. He was holy. He was an archangel. He chose unholiness. Now, you wouldn't do that. Come on, you wouldn't do that. Because we've chosen to follow the Lord. I see some very thoughtful people this morning. This is just going to be a nice, simple message. But I think God's taking us a little bit deeper. Because he says that holy of holies into which we enter is for holy people. And what the Lord wants to do every time we meet with him is to impact us, to impart to us more of that holiness, a fresh revelation of his holiness. You see, you fix your eyes on Jesus and you fix your eyes on the Holy One, the one who is love, the one who is grace, the one who is merciful. See, he's not judging you for being unholy. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, judges sin to keep you holy. No. That doesn't belong. You're holy. And you're bringing up your children, not in legalistic bondage, but to understand that they're made holy. They belong to the Lord. They're his. Are we through? Last thing. Chapter 1 of Hebrews, if we were to go back. The scripture says, oh, well, if you want to turn to it, we'll read it together. Oh, hallelujah. I'm happy. Anybody else happy? Verse 8. About the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Now, the scepter is a symbol of authority. So righteousness actually releases the authority of God's kingdom into our lives. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. You see, when our focus is on the Lord and we want to actually walk in ways that are pleasing to Him, we begin to love righteousness and hate wickedness. Why does sin persist in some Christians' lives? Because there are certain sins they don't yet hate. You've already given up the sin that you hate. But if there's any sin persisting in your life, you don't yet hate that sin. Now you see, Jesus loved righteousness, hated wickedness. He never sinned. He hated wickedness so much that he never sinned. Therefore, God raised him above his companions by anointing him with the oil of joy. Well, what does that say? It says that a way, the way in which God, this way that he's prepared for us, this race, this way that we're to run in, is the happy way to live. Amen. That sin messes you up. And it messes others up around you. Sin damages your relationship with God, your relationship with others, and your relationship with yourself. Especially your relationship with yourself. Which is why in his wonderful love and mercy, God has forgiven us. Amen. And made us holy so that we don't have to walk in all that nonsense anymore. Amen. Praise God. This is freedom. This is joy. This is knowing I'm not bound by the devil. I'm not tuned into doing what he wants. I'm not doing what the world wants. I'm not intimidated by political correctness or by the religious attitudes of others. I am free to follow Jesus. I'm free to walk in righteousness. I'm free to say no to sin, to say no to temptation. I'm free to love. I'm free to give. I'm free to bless. I'm free because the Word of God says it is for freedom. Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Thank Him that He set you free. Thank Him that He set you free. Come on now. Oh, let Him hear you. Let Him hear you. Oh, you set me free, Lord. When you saved me, you set me free from my past. You set me free from the bondage to Satan. You set me free from sin. Hallelujah. You set me free from a life without direction and meaning and purpose. Thank you that you have set me free, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Korata parazatuba. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you that you've made me new. Thank you that in Christ Jesus I am healed and made whole. Thank you that in you is my joy. Give me an undivided heart, O God, that I might praise your name. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm tuning into your station. And I'm going to keep tuned into your station. I'm going to keep tuned into your word. I'm going to keep tuned into your spirit. I'm not changing the station. I'm not getting onto Satan's station. I'm not getting onto any demon station. I'm not getting even get onto a self station. I'm not going to get onto what others think of me station. The only thing I'm going to do is keep plugged into your station. I'm going to keep switched on to you, Jesus, to your word, to your spirit, to what you say. Thank you that that is the best practical way to live. Thank you that your word works. When I believe it, when I do it, it works. Now I want you to thank the Lord that you know what to do. In nearly every situation, you know what to do. And just thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit lives in you to enable you to do what is right, to do what is good, to love, to bless, to give, to serve, to always do the positive. Come on, thank Him. Thank you, Lord, I can. This week I can. Today I can.
I can, Lord, by your grace. Thank you for the abundance of your grace. Come on, thank the Lord for his grace. Thank him that his grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Even when you feel so weak that you can't do it, that's when his grace kicks in. And you find that when you're weak, then you're strong because you're depending upon his grace. Come on now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Purata para zataria leto bokara sitri sanduba. Barata para zatu bokara sitapa. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the proclaiming of his word. So, Lord, I'm going to keep tuned into the faith station, listening to your word, listening to your voice, listening to the Spirit every day of my life. Poratapa karazatu bakarasitaba. Baratabarazatu bakarasitaba. Lord, when other people say things to me, I'm gonna tune into the faith station to say what you say about those things. I'm not gonna be misled by others. I'm gonna check things out with what you say. I thank you, Jesus. I don't think you sound thankful enough. Come on, let's really just release the Lord. Release thanksgiving to the Lord this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You just need to be so grateful that this is what the Lord has done. Just thank him that he's made you holy. Come on. Yes, I am a holy child of God. I'm a holy son, I'm a holy daughter, because I have a holy father. Oh, and I've been given new birth by the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Now the Lord wants to meet needs. He always wants to meet needs in the lives of his children. You see, he teaches us to give because he is the great giver himself. He has given you eternal life. He's given you salvation. He's given you his Spirit. He's given you forgiveness, given you mercy. He's given you healing. He's given you all that you need for your provision. Given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. Hallelujah. Some of you need to receive what he's given this morning. Thank the Lord that if you have sickness, it's not a punishment for sin. Come on, thank him. This is important. Thank him. Lord, thank you. This sickness is not a punishment from you. It's not something you've given me. It's not something that you want. It's not your will for my life. It's something you want out of my life. I'm fixing my eyes on you this morning, Jesus. You are the author and perfecter of my faith. I want what you want for me. And you took my sickness, you took all my need upon yourself on the cross because you wanted me to be set free from sickness and need, from pain and suffering and affliction, from depression and oppression. I believe that there are some here this morning that just have a witness from the Holy Spirit that God wants to meet with you to answer a need in your life. You just sense that what you are to do is to respond to this initiative. That it's as if he's just saying to you, come to me. Now, you can do that where you stand. But I believe that some of you will be helped just to come forward. I just pray with you. Because God wants you to receive from him this morning. Now, if that's true for you, just come quickly out of your place and stand in the front here. Because I believe. And if you believe with me and the two of us are agreed, then there's nothing that is impossible for our Father to effect this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, some of you need miracles. In fact, probably all of you need miracles of one kind or another. Some miracles come quickly, some come over a period of time, but they're miracles because it's the supernatural intervention of God that changes the circumstances. I want the rest of you to agree with us in prayer now. Obviously, you can't pray for long with each person, so we've just got to appropriate what he's giving. So as I come and pray with people now, it's just a moment of appropriation from God. I want the rest of you to be agreeing. Yes, Lord, something is being imparted now into the lives of each one of these your children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's have some keyboard because we just want to be worshiping. We want this in an atmosphere of worship, don't we? So let's have the whole band up and we'll just be worshiping the Lord while I pray with these folks. But I want, as you worship, I want you to believe with me that the power of God is going to come upon these lives right now. There's no time to pray long prayers. It's just that moment of appropriation. We've got the stewards ready here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord grants the desires of your heart right now. His power comes upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive from him. Take from him what he gives you right now. Right now, right now.
Lord, just a fresh release of the anointing of your Holy Spirit that will enable us to walk in your way, walk in the narrow way, walk in the way that will glorify you, that we will walk on the highway of holiness, that our joy will be full. Thank you for your saving grace, Lord. Thank you that we can say no to all the wrong stations. We're going to keep tuned into your station, Lord. We're going to keep tuned into your voice through your word and by your Spirit. And by your grace, Lord, we're going to put your word into action and into operation this week. We give you all the glory. We thank you for what you've done in the lives of these your people. We thank you for what you've done in the lives of every one of us this morning. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Just be seated for a moment. Turn back to Hebrews 12, just as we finish this morning. Oh, what a God. Verse 10 of chapter 12. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble knees. No, sorry, your feeble arms. Just say to your arms now, be strengthened. And to your weak knees, be strengthened. Because you're going to walk in the Lord's ways and you're going to do His will. Amen? Make level paths for your feet. See, you've got to do that, right? So that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Then, if we just move on to verse 22. But you have come. You have come. Say, I have come. To Mount Zion. See, not you will come, but you have come. This is what the importance of what we were talking about last week, coming right into that Holy of Holies. You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Your citizenship is now in heaven. Say, my citizenship is in heaven. And everything in heaven is holy. The city of the living God. You're a citizenship. You're a citizen. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. You have come to thousands upon thousands. You have come, not you will come. That's why when we worship, we want to get right into heavenly places. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in what kind of assembly? Joyful assembly. Why? Because they're holy. They're joyful. Amen. Have we got this? To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Say, my name is written in heaven. Amen. Isn't that good to know? You have come, not you will come, but you have come to God, the judge of all men. You don't have to fear the judgment in the future. Why? Because the Holy Spirit judges sin now to get it out of your life. Hello? To the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Ha ha! That's you. Say, I'm a righteous person being made perfect. Isn't that good? To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Just verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Better let the refining fire touch your life now than have the fire of judgment at the end. Isn't that better? Hallelujah. We've been delivered from the fire of judgment, but we have the refining fire. Our God is a refining fire. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just stand up and thank Him. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you so much for all that you have worked in us this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Lord, we pray for all our brothers and sisters that are away on holiday at present, for Pastor Clive and his family, for all the other pastors, their families, those who serve us, Lord, that they will be greatly refreshed, built up, strengthened in spirit, soul, and body, so that when they return from their holidays, they are ready to move ahead with us in your purposes, that you will take us on as your body further and further into your will, into your plan. And we believe, Lord, that by your wonderful grace working amongst us, we shall accomplish all that you have destined for us, for the praise, honor, and glory of your name. And thank you that this is going to be a good week, because we're all tuned in to the right station. Bless your wonderful name. Come on, let's shout hallelujah. Hallelujah! Yes! Yes! Amen. Well, that was a nice, simple, quiet, sort of little family service message, wasn't it? I'm just amazed because, you know, I say to the Lord during these family services, Lord, you know, all the children are there. And he says, yes, I know the children are there. And you'll find that they'll be very quiet during the message, because even they will be receiving, even in a way that is perhaps you can't understand, but they will be receiving also. It's just his presence, isn't it? So praise God. We'll be back here. We have one more family service next week when... I'll be here again, you'll be here again, we'll be praising God. Meanwhile, you're going to have a great week. Amen. Just turn around to all those around you and say, you're going to have a great week this week.